Happy Mother's Day. You know, that video does get just, I think it, you know, what we think our moms do and what our moms do are really two different things. Because I know my mother put a lot of work into raising us. And my mom had three boys. They thought I was their last one. When I was born, the nurse said, "Oh, what a beautiful baby." She says, "Oh, good, I got my girl." she didn't. So, anyway. Had I been a girl, I'd have been named Rachel. So, anyway, that was my mother's idea, it wasn't mine. So, anyway, we do want to also give the mothers here today a small token of our appreciation. And we usually go with flowers for mothers and candy bars for fathers. And so we're going to swap it around this time. The girls, the women, the ladies, mothers, you're going to get the edible, and guys, you're going to get a flower. wouldn't that be funny? So, you know.
Rob suggests bacon for the guy.
Bacon! You figure out how to hand it out, and we'll do it. So, anyway, but this morning, just to say thank you to you moms out there. We have a little gift bag with you with, you know, 3-4 pieces of chocolate and then some high cheese because we ran out of decision. We couldn't figure out what else to do. But anyway, so anyway. I was really smart this year, ordered only enough candy to fill the right amount of bags. And so I didn't get any. But it seemed like one of the packages had one extra. And so I give to Melissa. Isn't that nice of me? She's standing there staring at me. What am I supposed to do? You're here? It's mine. Anyway, we would like to have you moms stand. We have all the mothers stand. If your kids aren't here, that's not a problem. You're still a mother. So stand. Oh, good. There's not 60. So what we're going to do, and we've done this before, so the explanation isn't going to be hard. But if your mother is present today, we would like you to come down and get a little package, and that doesn't mean if you have 6 kids, Bridget, you can get 6. Although you might deserve it. You know, but anyway, so if your mom is here today, we want you to come on down and grab a little goodie bag and take it back to them. And moms, when you get your little goodie bag, would you please sit down? Come on. You know what happens when you assume. Derek and Darren, whom I do most of the time, they're going to go ahead and just keep up a bowl. I don't need to have it now. And they're going to come and make sure that all you moms get a piece of candy. And there's no one in the balcony, so you guys are good. He's coming. He's young. He can take the long route. Oh my God. Thank you, guys. Psalm 119 might be the same person. not sure, can't, you know, I mean, I'm not a theologian, didn't study it, I just kind of noticed what was really important to this psalmist in here. And basically, what this psalm is about is two roads. Two roads. One road leads to happiness, and the other road, which unfortunately a lot of people choose, does not lead to happiness. Psalm chapter 1, and I'm going to read the entire psalm. It's only 6 verses long, so listen up to it. It says, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." Let's pray. Father, in this few moments that we have, as we look into your word, Father, speak to our hearts. Show us what you want us to learn. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at this psalm, and the title is The Road to Happiness, and you're probably looking at that and saying, well, where in the world does happiness come out of this? The first two words are, how blessed. Well, if you go into the Hebrew language and you look up the word that they translate here as blessed, the word is also the word for happy. So, in essence, we can say, how happy is the man who walks, who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the depths of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. Now, I just wanted again to make this kind of simple, and so I just want you to envision two roads. The first road, this is the way of, as the psalmist puts it, it is the road of the wicked. It's the road of sinners. And it's the road of scoffers. And basically, it's the road that our world is on. As you look at this, and there's a progression in this first verse of Psalms 1. Because if you look at it, the first... At first, it mentions they walk in the counsel. So you have a person who is walking down a road. Maybe just thinking that this is the way that you get from here to there. And so they're walking down there. But it's also the road that, again, the wicked walk on. And so he may be walking and just kind of talking to someone. The next step is that they stand in the path of sinners. So you get this vision, you get the vision of this idea that a person is walking, and oftentimes when you're interested or something, or when something catches your eye, or you stop to think about it. You stop to think about it. And so all of a sudden, first you're kind of walking in this counsel of the wicked. But you hear something that's kind of interesting, or maybe you have to think about it for a bit. So you stop and kind of listen. And then the last part of that is, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. So sitting basically is this idea that you've taken up residence. You're there. You're caught. You're in their group now. You're sitting with them. The psalmist warns us against this. He says, do not take that road. Even if you think that, you know, well, I've got it all down. I know what it is. I can cope with this. I can deal with this. I can handle this. And then all of a sudden we find out after a period of time that, well, and maybe we don't find out, and that's the tragedy of it, is that we're not. We are on that road, and we are heading down that path, and we are not turning around. We are listening to what the world has to say. We are listening to what the wicked has to say. We are listening to the sinners. We are listening to the scoffers of this world, and there's a lot of them out there. But this isn't going to lead you to happiness. The thing about this road that is tempting for a lot of us is that it is well-traveled. A lot of people on it. A lot of people on it. In fact, you might say the majority of our world is on this road. In Matthew 7:13, it says, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. You know, when we were younger, or maybe it still affects us, we just don't talk about it as much. You know, and moms, you've heard this before, dads, you probably too, but moms, you know, your child wants to do something, or go somewhere, or have something. And when you ask them why, the answer is everyone's doing it. Everyone's going that way. All my friends are going there. I remember when I was in the ninth grade. Now, in the ninth grade, when I was growing up, was not in high school. It was in junior high yet. And I was in the FFA program, and the FFA was having a camp out. And the camp out was Friday night, Saturday night, and coming home Sunday evening. And I kind of wanted to go. I'm not a big camper. I like camping just about as much as I like running. But my friends were going. And so I kind of ran up past my folks. Hey, can I go? Well, my folks were more of the old school nature as far as it's like, well, can you get home for Sunday? Well, I don't know. Never thought about that. And it's like, well, you know, they didn't want me to miss church. And you know, and it's kind of interesting. I didn't really want to go in the first place, but I asked them. And when they said I couldn't, then I really wanted to go. It's interesting how that works. But, you know, we use that excuse all the time. Well, everyone's doing that. Everyone's doing that. You know, I mean, I get a little comfort when I'm driving, and I'm maybe driving a little bit too fast, but someone passes me. Then I think, see, they're doing that, so I guess I can do it. If they can do it, I can do it. You know, that just doesn't work when you talk to a policeman. Well, man, they don't feel sorry for you. And they don't see it as, well, everyone's doing it. No, you're the one who's doing it. But there's a lot of people on this road, and I think a lot of times we get tricked into following the wrong crowd. And it is a crowd. And we go with them. And it takes us down the wrong path. And we think that that path is going to lead us somewhere that is going to lead to fulfillment or joy or happiness or for being blessed, and it does not. In fact, the very opposite is what happens. The road that the first road that we're talking about here leads to destruction. It leads to destruction. Psalms 1, go back to our passage of Scripture, verses 4 and 5 says, the wicked are not so. They are like chaff, which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. Now, when it says that the wicked will not stand in the judgment, it doesn't mean that they are not going to be judged. It means in the judgment, they're not going to go very well. It's not going to go very well for them. It's going to be difficult. And if, again, we go back to the Gospel of Matthew, And the verse that Jesus said in 7:13, it says, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. It leads to destruction. It is not a way to happiness. It's a way to destruction. And it is crowded. A lot of people on that road that is going nowhere. So in contrast, he kind of paints a picture of another road that we can take, another path that we can follow. The second road. Well, the second road is the way of, first of all, those who delight in God's word. See, the contrast is huge. The wicked, those who delight in God's word. Let's look back at Psalm 1, verse 2 says, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. So the second road is the way of those who delight in God's word. They delight in it. They love it. They rejoice in it. It is meaningful to them. It gives them meaning, it gives them purpose, it gives them life. But they don't just delight in it. They don't just say, oh, wow, that is so good, that is so wonderful, all that. And Mark, I'm just really skipping through things here, so you're so good about catching up with me and figuring out where I am. You know, but they just don't delight in it. It says that they meditate on God's word day and night. They meditate on it. They, you know, to put it in present terms, they would be people who study God's word, who know God's word, who are learning God's word, who have their early morning devotions in God's word, who attend Bible studies and Sunday school, and they want to learn about God's word because they delight in it. They want to meditate on it. That means think about it, ruminate on it on it in your mind. You know, just kind of have it rolling around in there, and a good way to do that. And we're not talking that you're walking around with your Bible open all the time. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about when you do a Bible study or when you do a devotion in the morning, you don't just say, oh, done that, devotion, check off devotion, and you go on. What you read in God's Word, think about it. Think about it. Don't just dismiss it or just say, yep, done that, going on. Think about it and ask God to enlighten you, to show you some maybe even deeper thought that he had in the verse that he has given to us. Our Bible is tremendously deep. There's more in it than you could possibly imagine. And I just know that some of you understand that when you're a child, you learn a verse and you think you understand what that verse means. And as you get a little bit older, all of a sudden something else pops out of that verse. Then as you get a little older, something else pops out of it. But that doesn't happen if you just read it and dismiss it. It happens only if you delight in his word and you meditate on his word. That means you're in his word and you think about his word. You think about what he says. And so ultimately, this second road is the road of the people who delight in God's word. It is the road of those who meditate on God's word. Basically, it's the road of the righteous. It's the road of the righteous. If we go to verse 6 of chapter 1, it says, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous. Now, it isn't our righteousness. This is a righteousness that comes from being in God's word. This is a righteousness that comes from God. Because the Bible makes it very clear that our own righteousness is not very attractive. Not very attractive at all. You know, I don't know where they came from, and I don't know how it happened, but in our little kind of laundry area in our house, those of you who've been there kind of know it's just kind of tucked away in there. There's a wash sink in there. And Melissa or I don't know who did, we threw about 3 rags on the lip of the sink. We, you know, put them there to dry out. And I don't know what had happened to these rags. But I walked in and it's like, whoa, it can't be my shoes because I'm wearing them. So what is the smell in here? Well, obviously, Melissa noticed it too, because all of a sudden I noticed they were laying out on the front, well, not the front porch. We generally don't put our dirty rags out on the front porch. But they were on the back porch, because obviously we could not stand the smell. They were filthy. They didn't look dirty, but they just, you know, well, that's what our righteousness is to God. Our righteousness stinks in front of Him. But the righteousness that we gain from God's Word, by delighting in it, by meditating on it, by applying it to our lives, then we are covered not with our righteousness, but the righteousness that comes from God. And that is what He's talking about here. This is the road of those who are right in the eyes of God. And that's what righteousness is. It's rightness. It's very simple. It sounds like a big religious word, but it just simply means right. It means right. So when, and then that makes it very understandable. Is there much that is right in us? No. But everything that is right is in the Lord, and so we want to be covered by His righteousness. So it's the road of the righteous. The sad thing about this is if we go back to Matthew chapter 7, verses 14, it says, "For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few that find it." This is not a populated road. This is not a populated road. Now, we would love to see more people on it, and God has really given us the challenge, or actually, He has given us the responsibility to tell people about this road. He's given us the responsibility to tell people how they can find happiness, how they can find peace, how they can find comfort. They find it in the Lord. They don't find it in the world. They don't find it in what the world has to offer. And following the crowd is not necessarily going to get it for them. And it's the same way with us. This road, unfortunately, is not crowded. In fact, there are only a few that find it, that take it. But for those who do, where does it lead to? Well, Psalm 1, verse 3 says, "The person who delights in God's word and meditates on it, he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers." He prospers. There is your blessing. There is your happiness. There is your peace. There is your contentment. Is when you meditate, delight, meditate on God's word, apply it to your life. When you live it, then you are like a tree that is planted next to the stream. And its roots go down and they have plenty of water. And so it produces its crop and its leaves don't ever dry up because of the heat. And he prospers in whatever he does. Now, when we have to be careful here, because this does not mean that then, well, if we follow God's word, then everything that we do or want to do is going to be granted us. We're going to be successful in everything that we... No. Because you have to put this back in the context of God's word. Loving God's word. Meditating on God's word. And so everything that we do that is in accordance with God's word, we will. we will succeed in. We will be prosperous. We will be prosperous in our happiness. Not that we will have a lot of riches, a lot of things, but we will be happy. We will be blessed. We will be content in what we have. And we will be resilient. I mean, there's just so many things we can bring out of this analogy of a tree planted next to a stream that has its roots down into the water. But there's really, in this world, two roads. That's it. There's two roads. And they don't both lead the same way. One road is going to lead to the happiness and the contentment that comes from knowing Jesus Christ. Knowing God's Word. And that's the road you really want to be on. The other road sounds great, and you're going to hear all kinds of things on that road that you want to hear. But that road isn't going to take you to where you think it is. And it is certainly not going to grant you happiness and peace and comfort in this world or in the world to come when we leave this place. Two roads. That's it. There's not a third road. There's not a, I'm an old movie buff. I like old movies. And there's two old guys, Bob Hope and Bing Crosby. And they made all kinds of movies. They made road movies. Love road movies. They made them from 1940, it's their first one, to 1962. How many of you heard that? And the last one was The Road to Hong Kong, in which they were on a spaceship and went to Mars. I've never seen it, so I don't know. But I looked at that, and it's kind of like, so there's all kinds of road movies. You know, but there aren't all kinds of roads in this world that are going to lead us to happiness, to lead us to contentment. There's only one, and that road is found in God, and in God's Word. In following what God wants us to do. And when we get on that road and when we focus on that, we will truly be blessed. We will truly find happiness for our lives. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have a road for us to follow. A road that is not crowded, a road that the world does not follow, but Lord, a road that if we follow, we will be blessed. It is a promise. We will be prosperous in our walk with you. We will be successful in our walk with you. Lord, I pray that Lord, people would find the true road, the right road, the road that leads to you, the road that leads to happiness. Father, I pray that if there's anyone here this morning that isn't on that road, Lord, that they would do a turnaround and go back and get on the right road. It's only in that will we find true fulfillment for our hearts. I pray this in Jesus' name. Thank you.